check, 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 check. Good? Check, 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 check.
I'm waiting on Jeff.
Do you want me to go ahead and start with the scripture or wait? Wait. Just give me a nod.
Heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron rod. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:11-16.
Stand with us, please, if you would.
In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father.
stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who come to the Father all restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame, now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free, for the love of Jesus Christ, who is raised.
And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to break its seals, for you were slaughtered, and you purchased people for God with your blood from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You have made them into a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Revelation 5, 9 through 10.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What a blessing it is to just have the opportunity to gather in the presence of God with God's children, to gather around the Word, to gather around the Scriptures, and just sing praises to His name. You know, God is good. And all the time. Do we believe that? Well, let's act like it, right? Man, what a blessing this is. Every time I think about having the opportunity, and I know that all of you haven't had the opportunity to experience some of the things that some of the others in our church have, or even what your pastor has, and being able to be some places where worship is, we would call it a challenge. For them, they call it everyday routine. Yeah, you know, just the things that they don't have, the opportunities to come together without all the wonderful things that we have as far as instrumentation. You go to, we've been to services in Cuba where they were just singing a cappella, and they sang for hours just a cappella. It's like Barney Fife. If somebody asked you to sing a cappella, could you do it? You'd be going, yeah, a cappella, I forget the words. But you get what I'm saying. You know, the reason they're there is to have that opportunity to experience God. And that's what we want you to do this morning. Listen, there's a lot of things that are going on in your life and my life and everybody's life and in the life of our church, in the life of our jobs, in the lives of our families. But for these few moments, God says, I want you to be still in my presence. I want you to just be. Yeah, did you ever have a child that was like that, just bouncing off, seemed like they were bouncing off the walls? And you just, it was just like when you got them still for just a moment, you were like, shh, 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 listen, people, well, as children, you know what happens. You get a child still, guess what happens to them? They go to sleep. They go to sleep. You know, all that activity that's going on with folks. Listen, today, as you came in, I know there's a lot of activity going on in that melon called your brain. Concentrate just for a little while. The Lord's going, listen, I've got a word for you today, and I want you to hear it. Be still. That's good how y'all did that too, y'all. Yeah, I like that. Listen, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me over to the book of 1 Chronicles. Not Corinthians, but 1 Chronicles. Listen, if you're joining us as part of our online folks today, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito back there. If you have any questions, he will surely answer those for you. Work him hard today. Give him a hello. It's all right when you're online to talk in church. That way we know you're there. Be sure to let us know, let Dr. Cazito know where you're even tuning in to us today from. But this is a passage we're going to look at today that maybe you've heard of, but maybe the only reason that you've ever really considered it, or maybe the only reason that you ever really heard of it, was because back maybe a decade ago, or maybe even a little bit more, one of the things that happened and one of the things that took place was there was an emphasis, particularly on this one verse or two. Now, there were some interesting things that happened in it, and I'm giving you time. I'm stalling a little bit because 1 Chronicles is not one of those books that you turn to every day. Now, if you would have been in Awana like I was when you were growing up, then you would know where those books are. But listen, it's all right. Whatever it is, just find it. We want you to be with us along the way. As we look at these verses. Now, there's something that I want you to pay careful attention to, and part of the reason why this is a passage that's very easily overlooked and doesn't stand out to us is because, to be quite honest with you, we have trouble when we get to passages like 1 Chronicles chapter 4, don't we? Now, if you look there, and look at 1 Chronicles, and that's not what's going to come up, but I'm just giving you something, so just you're all right, Tim, just hang in there with me till we get to the actual verse. But if you look at how 1 Chronicles chapter 4 starts, it starts off and it says, well, the sons of Judah were Perez and Haran and Kamran and Hur, and what happens is we start getting this list of lineage, fancy word for saying the family tree. Now, I've always said this, you know me, confession is very, very good for the soul. When you get to those begats, when this one begat that one, how many of you all kind of skip on down past the family tree? Yes, I see those hands. Yeah, even at home, you're probably sitting there going, ooh, yeah. And part of the reason that we do that is because it makes us, in our own heart, sound kind of foolish because we can't pronounce half those names, can we? And then there's like chapter after, in some places, chapter after chapter of begat, who begat, who begat. And we're like, look, let's just cut through and get to the meat of the stuff. So we have this tendency to kind of just plow on through, push our way on through till we get to the meat of it. Now, if you've done that in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, you will have missed something very, very special. Now, like I said, back maybe 10 years ago, there was an emphasis given on these particular verses. Now, if you look, I want you to just glance at it, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, you start seeing those begots and begats, don't you? After starting at verse 1. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to take away anything from the fact that they are important. That's how we actually have lineage, and that's how we can actually, you know, understand what dates are and things to that nature, okay? So they're important to be in there. But what happens is as we glaze over them, you look down through there. You know, verse 2, there was some more begats and more begots. In verse 3, and then there were sons of the fathers, and we get some more names that we can't hardly pronounce. And then we get down to verse 4, and it's talking about firstborns, and verse 5, you had two wives, and we're still seeing all these names. And then we get down to verse 9. We want to look at verses 9 and 10 for just a few moments this morning, because in the middle of all the begatten and begotten, and in the middle of all the names that we can't say, it is almost like there's a pause in the listing of the lineage. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. It says, now Jabez, now let me halt for just a minute, because now, how many of you all know what I'm talking about? Remember I said about 10 years ago, there was some emphasis that was given to these verses to kind of point it out, and it was called the prayer of Jabez. Today, you know, this morning's message is, I've called it the other model prayer. We know what the model prayer is. That's the Lord's Prayer. But we see something in here that each and every one of us can take to heart. And can we really, really pray in the manner in which Jabez did? So in this passage, you're getting all the, well, this one begat that one, who begat that one. And oh yeah, verse 9, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we are thankful for the fact that you are here. Lord, that you have shown up in our midst. We have lifted our voices to you. And Lord, in a special way this morning, you want to speak to us. Father, I just pray that today you would help us to be calm and still. Your word says, be still and know that I am God. Today, Father, help us to be still and hear your word. Help us, Father, to hear the marching orders that you have for each and every one of us. And Lord, in our hearts and in our minds, may we be exactly what you want us to be. Lord, use this, your messenger, for these moments that you would truly be lifted up as you draw all men unto you. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, remember what we said about these particular verses. There was a lot of begatten and begotten going on up to this point. And so it's almost like the writer here in the middle of listing this lineage goes, oh, yeah, let me tell you for just a moment about this guy named Jabez. Because if you look, starting back with verse 11, they start getting back into begatten and begotten, doesn't it? So it's almost like a pause in the middle of this scripture because there was something extremely special about this guy named Jabez. Now, when we look at it, we do so many times in a way that is somewhat superficial, but there's a couple things we learn about Jabez in this particular passage, and it starts off by in verse 9 by saying that he was more honorable than his brothers. And we also learn in verse 9 that he was called Jabez, and there was a definition to his name. Now, you got to remember that back in the days of the Bible, names were, they seemed like they were more important. They carried meaning with them, not as much like the meaning that we have today. I mean, we'll name our children after family members or certain things. But back in the days of the Old Testament, that name was significant. Now, we kind of agree with that to this day. How many of you named your daughter Jezebel? I don't see any hands. Well, why not? That's a pretty name. You don't name your daughter Jezebel because the connotation that it carries with it. Even people who aren't necessarily biblical people understand that Jezebel is a term that is not a real good one. So nobody ever gathered around and said, oh, let's call this sweet child Jezebel, because you knew that this child was going to be hung with a reputation, whether it was an earned or deserved one or not, and it was just going to be a tough, tough life. So you decided that's not a good thing to do. Now, I want you to think about Jabez here for just a minute, because we know his name, verse 9, and it says this. It's in his latter part of verse 9 says, his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Okay. Does that sound like something that you would want to go by? Does that sound like something that you would want to be known by? I mean, you know, for me, I don't think that that would be something that I would want to be strapped with, because let me tell you a little something else about this. Yet Jabez's name, you know, according to some footnotes, if you got a New King James, you can look at it there. According to the footnotes in the New King James Version, it literally means this. Jabez literally means he will cause pain. Now, a lot of people sit back and say, well, you know, it could have been that that his mama had a rough childbirthing experience in my heavenly days. A lot of y'all in here probably can sit back and say, yeah, I'd have probably named mine, you know, pain too, because that child caused me some pain. But yet, this goes even further than that. It was not just simply because of a rough delivery, because the connotation and definition of that is, it says this, that he will continue to cause pain. Now, how would you like to have a name like that? Oh, here comes the one that's going to cause pain. Yeah. That means that, yeah, it's almost like a problem child, as it were. So think about that for just a minute. He will cause pain. Maybe it goes beyond just the simple fact of the childbirth. You know, now think about that for a moment. You know, some of us suffer from being called names by people around us, and they call us names and they label us according to how they perceive us or how they receive us. And that was what Jabez was going through for his whole life. His name became a lifelong label that was given to him by others. In the same manner, see, it was real easy for us to think about what life would have been like if we would have named our daughter Jezebel, or if you would have been named Jezebel, and how people would have thought about you. Think about this in regard to Jabez. This is a guy who causes pain. Now, that don't sound like the way a mama should name her child, does it? But yet, that was the reputation that he had simply because of his name. Yeah, every time Jabez was called, it was as if he was being labeled a man that would bring nothing but pain and sorrow among the people that were in his life. Now, does that give you a little bit better understanding of this guy called Jabez? I mean, that was just the way history moved, and its in and outs of that day. That was Jabez. That's the guy that we're talking about there. And yet, you notice that he got the tip of the hat in Scripture when it says in the latter part of verse 9, or actually, first part of verse 9, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Yeah, he was the one who had actually the better reputation when it came down to the nitty-gritty, or when it came down to the brass tacks of what was going on. Now, Jabez has gone through all of his life. Now, I want you to understand something, and I want you to hold this thought for just a few minutes. I'm going to be literary here in just a second, because I'm going to bring you back to something. Now, remember the last part. Remember what his name stands for. And in verse 9, the latter part says, because I bore him in pain, knowing that his name means that I will continue to bring pain. So I want you to hold that thought till the end of the message, because I'm going to point out something about this, okay? We've got that in our minds, right? That, tell me yes. Somebody raise a hand. Somebody go, oh, look at you getting Pentecostal today. The Spirit's moving. No, it's perfectly fine. Good. I'm glad you're hearing me. That's important. So now, as we go on, he's identified. The writer has identified who this guy Jabez is in a very brief verse. And remember, he's in the middle of listing a family tree. And he paused at this moment to tell us about Jabez. And he says this in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, let me ask you this question, and I don't want you to raise hands or anything. How many of you all have trouble praying for you, praying for yourself? You know, sometimes we have issues saying, God, today I want you to bless me. Now, sometimes we don't have a problem with that when we're in the middle of something. We might be asking God to bless us so that we don't do bodily harm and injury to our coworker or something to that nature. We're asking God to intervene in that regard. But let me ask you this. When is the last time that you went to God Almighty and said, Lord, thank you that you woke me up this morning. That means you still have work for me to do. And today, I want you to bless me. I want you to do something special in my heart. I want you to do something special in my life. Here's the problem. We don't do that, do we? Now, a lot of people that I know, yeah, you've heard that old expression, there are givers and there are takers, right? Yeah, most of the people that I know, good Christian people, you have trouble asking God to bless you. And here's why. Because you're too busy asking God to bless other people. I'm not saying that that's a character flaw, but let me also mention to you, it is all right for you to pray and ask God to bless you. In fact, did I not do that just a moment ago in my prayer when I said, Lord, I need you to be with me as your messenger for these few months. You need to bless me, not because of who I am, but because of who you are. The word that comes out of this pulpit today needs to come from you, and I need your blessing because, trust me, I'm not capable of doing it on my own. That I know. So here, I want to give you a challenge this morning. Those that are here, those that are viewing, here's your challenge. I want you to begin to ask God to bless you. And I want you to understand it is not a selfish prayer. But Jabez went even further. Verse 10, it says, and Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, that indeed, most of us would just sit back and say, well, that's just the way it's translated. That's the way the King James English was or what have you. No, there was some significance to that indeed. You know what, Jabez, let me kind of put it to you in a modern term, that if Jabez was praying this prayer, he said, Lord, that you would bless me, and I want you to bless me in a supernatural way. All of a sudden, that adds a little bit of difference to it, doesn't it? What does a supernatural way mean? It means a way that man can't do it. It means a way that God is the only one who can get credit for it. It means that God has moved, and even you go, wow, look at what God did. So, Lord, today I want you to bless me, and I want you to bless me in such a fashion that what happens is that you are known, that you are the one who is being honored, and you are the one who is being glorified, because, Lord, it really is all about you. Now, I want you to say something with me. Here's what I want you to say with me today. God, it's all about you. God, it's all about you. See, it's not about me, it's about God. Even being here today should be about God. Being here today to worship should be about God. Getting up and going to work should be about God. Going out to play ball should be about God. Going to school should be about God. How can we honor and glorify Him where we are? And you know what? We've got to be in some places, and let me tell you, it didn't take God by surprise. Do you realize your workplace is a mission field? Let me tell you, there are more people being won to Jesus outside of the church walls today than inside the church walls. And let me tell you why. Because today the church has been labeled as the biggest hypocritical organization that there is. They say that the church preaches Jesus, but they don't live Jesus. And what happens is when people have an opportunity outside of the church wall to confess who they are in Jesus to people, then it becomes real to them. It becomes real to them. So God's got you placed where you are. God's got you placed where you're going, oh, and here, are you ready for this? This is the part we don't like. Even in the biggest messes of life, God has you in the middle of it. Remember Paul and Silas? Yeah, I'm sure that that day Paul and Silas set out and said, Lord, we want to preach the gospel. We want to be something great and holy for you today. And by the end of the day, they've wound up getting beat. They've been given stripes. I mean, their flesh has been torn by bull whips, and they find themselves chained up in prison. Do you think they were sitting there going, well, it was a good day today, Silas? Hallelujah! This day went as planned. Listen, how many of us are guilty of doing that? Everything fell apart. Nothing looks like it's supposed to. We're sitting there going, we're not supposed to be here. This is not where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be bullwhipped. We're not supposed to be in the middle of prison. We're supposed to be on a mission from God. And Lord, where are you? Let me tell you where God was. He was right in the middle of their situations and circumstances. And he carried them exactly where they needed to be. Now, here's what we need to understand about that. When I get to heaven, here's a really cool thing that is going to happen. Are you ready? I am going to sit down someday, and I am going to have a conversation with that Philippian jailer. And I'm going to sit down with him and say, tell me what that was like, man. I know the story of Paul and Silas. I've read about it for years. I've preached about it. But look, you were there. You're one of the main characters. Tell me what that was like. You know, one of these days I'm going to get to sit down with Paul and Silas and say, hey, look, how about running that prison thing with the Philippian jailer? Tell me your story there. Do you think that they're going to set out and say, well, you know what? It started off as a wonderful day and went downhill from there. What about our testimony? Is our testimony reflecting the fact that we're trusting God even in the middle of our crises, even in the middle of our circumstances, even in the middle of our situation, and even when we don't understand? Yeah, I mean, if I was probably Paul or Silas, I'd have said, look, man, I'll go. I will tell the Philippian jailer about you, but can we do without the stripes? See, that's what we want. We want God to do away with the stripes. But you know what? We even learned some things through that as well. But old Jabez, oh, that you would bless me. Lord, I want you to bless me. But I don't want you to just bless me normal. I don't want normal blessing. I want extraordinary and supernatural blessing. Bless me indeed. And he goes on, he says this, and enlarge my territory. Now, what does that mean? Yeah, what that boils down to is that boils down to influence. What is your influence for the gospel? You know what? We could pray as a church. God, we want you to bless us as Central Baptist Church indeed, and we want you to enlarge our territory. We want you to enlarge our ministry. We want you to give us more opportunity to share your word to a lost and dying world. That's what we want, God. We want you to do something that's not limited to the backyard. Lord, we want you to pull up the fence post, and we want you to go on back into the back 40. Now, for some of us, we would be sitting back saying, well, you know what? We've got the fence off really nice, and I can mow that, and it only takes me 2 hours to mow the backyard. But now, if I move them fence posts back into that 40-acre field, it's going to take me longer to mow the grass. It's going to cost me more things. I'm going to have to spend more money on gasoline for the lawnmower. I'm going to have to make sure. Now, I'll have to use all of my Saturday to get it mowed instead of, you know what? There are 10,000 reasons we can talk ourselves out of something. But God has called us as a church. That's me and that's you. Regardless of where we think we stand at this particular point, God has called us to a mission. And the mission is not relegated to 1715 Highway 68 North. Matter of fact, you know, I don't want Central Baptist Church to say, Lord, just give us this block. I want to say, Lord, I want you to give us the town. And then, oh, by the way, Lord, I know that's the first step, but after you give us the town, you need to give us the county, because, Lord, have mercy, the county needs you. But, Lord, listen, we're not just trying this step by step. We're going to go ahead and ask now for it. So we want the state of North Carolina. And some people are going, oh, come on. No. I want the state. But that's not it. That's just another phase. Because, see, after God allows us to be an influence for Him, not only on the block and in the town and in the county and in the state, but I want Him to help us to be an influence across the United States of America. Well, that's a tall order, preacher. No, that's not the tall order, because the last part of the prayer is, Lord, I want you to help us make an impact in the world. Well, preacher, I don't know if we can do that with this little crowd sitting in here. Well, let me tell you what. We're still here today because 12 faithful men, and there's more than 12 people sitting here right now. I have yet to see what God can do with one man completely sold out for Him. See, it's got to be about the gospel. It's got to be about Him, not about us. And that means we're going to be put in some pretty uncomfortable situations. Now, you know me. I sweat. You know that. I mean, you all could be sitting in here. I've seen a lot of our ladies in here before, sitting there with your afghans on, freezing to death, and I'm up here sweating through shirts and coats and everything else. But I've had a chance to preach in Cuba where there ain't no air conditioning. Now, you talk about sweating through a shirt. I can sweat through a shirt in a heartbeat. But you know what? What a privilege. What a challenge. This church has been sending missionaries for the right reasons. Well, we got to make sure our focus stays right. We got to send people across town. We got to send people with Beverly to Grace Community on the third people. Well, all we're doing is feeding people. Well, duh. You know, we're feeding people for an opportunity to share the gospel message with them. That's what it's all about. It's working together. We need people to get on a plane and be able to go. We need people to go to Wyoming. We're seeking where God wants us to go. We're asking God to do what Jabez was doing, to pull out the stops and move back the borders. Well, here's another thing. You know what that means? That means we're not capable of doing it ourselves. Yeah, I've said this before. When we talk about launching out into the deep water, remember what I said about the deep water? I said the deep water is where you die without Jesus. It's not ankle deep. It's not where you jump out of the boat and you can stand up and go, oh, okay, we're safe. Nope. It's vastly deep water. But you know what the really cool part about it is? According to the Word of God, the deep water is where the fish are. So if you're going to catch the big fish, you got to go to the deep water. And if you go to the deep water without the Lord, you die there. We got to go to deep water, y'all. God has called us to do that. And if He's called us to do that, then He has given us the resources by which to do it. The question is, are we willing to listen to what He has to say? It was a prayer for God to push back the borders. But Jabez's prayer was a prayer for the power of God to show up in his life. Man, don't we want the power of God to show up in our lives? I don't know about you, but I do. Now, let's go back to verse 10 again. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, supernaturally, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me. I can't do this without you, God. You have to do it. And that you would keep me from evil. Boy, don't we need to pray that prayer. Because let me make you this promise. If you woke up and you breathed oxygen today, evil is coming after you, right? There's going to be temptation on every corner. There's going to be opportunities that Satan's going to throw in your path, and he is relentless at doing that. The question is, will we buy in to what he's selling? Oh, that you would keep me from evil. Now, here's something interesting. Remember, I told you before I was going to start with something and I was going to finish with something. Remember what I said to start with? We talked about how in the first part of this, or actually verse 9, where it talks about Jabez's name, and we said that that he would be the one who would cause pain. Not only did he cause pain, but that he would cause pain. And we talked about the fact that that was his reputation. His reputation was known to be the one who would bring pain to anybody who he came in contact with. Now look down at the bottom of verse 10. It says, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause what? Pain. Lord, that I would not be the reputation that I've been given. Lord, that I may not cause pain to you, that I may not cause pain to others, but that I might be an instrument in your hand to bring about healing. Lord, I've been strapped with this reputation all my life. Everybody looks at me and thinks, oh, this is a guy who's just going to bring pain and suffering in my life. Lord, I don't want to be that. Notice what he says again. Go back, latter part of verse 10. That you would keep me from evil that I may cause no pain. Lord, I don't want to be that guy. I am going to break the cycle and reputation that I've been given. Oh, Jabez, you're the guy that causes pain. No. That's just what you think. You give me a shot, you hang around me a little bit, you're going to find out otherwise. Because I am not going to be strapped with a title from the world when I am an instrument in the hand of the Almighty. You know what? There are people every day who sit back and say, well, God can't use me because of what I did in the past, or God can't use me because of what I did currently or presently. And for those of you who are thinking that, let me just point something out real quick. Here, are you ready for this? Last time I checked, my Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all means all. And that's all that all means. And that means you. And that means me. And I think this would be something great for us to do, great for our online audience to see. Listen, how many of you all are sinners? All right, look, can you see? Are y'all looking from home? Look, there's hands up all over the place. And for those of you who think, oh, I can't go to, I don't want to be a part of the church because I'm a sinner. Listen, this is what this place is all about. Sinners saved by grace. You know what that means? That means we need to reach into the lives and the hearts of those who think they're unworthy. Listen, if you're listening to my voice today, you are not unworthy. Jesus went to Calvary's cross for you. He went through a borrowed tomb for you. He came out of that tomb for you, and he's coming back for you. And you know what that means? That means that in life's path, when we're going by and we find a brother in the ditch, covered with mud, filthy, dirty, to sin that is mankind, you know what that means? That means we're supposed to reach in there and help him. Well, man, I don't want to do that, man. I got my nice suit on. Well, you know what? You can wash that or dry clean it. What's more important, the life of the person that needs you at that point or your suit? See, here's what we got to get, people. We got to get back to realizing that there's a lost and dying world around us and people are going to hell, and it should matter to us. You see, when stuff like that begins to matter, all the rest of the stuff trails off. The rest of the process trails off about anything you can think of. We no longer spend our efforts and energies worrying about, you know, I've used this illustration 10,000 times, what color the carpet is, or whether the offering plates are gold plated or any of those type things, when it should matter more to us that people are dying and going to hell. Does it? It's a new day. There's new marching orders. It's new. By the way, that takes vision. And you know what? We've got that. We're getting ready to unroll that as we go forward. But you know what it means? It means the fence post got to be moved. That means there's going to be more grass to mow. That means there's going to be more sticks you got to pick up before you mow. More rocks you're going to have to go around. More sweat that you're going to have to put in. Are you ready to pray that prayer? Or are we going to sit back and say, Lord, don't enlarge my territory. I'm happy where I am. I'm content where I am. I like to be here. See, you know what that's called? That's called a rut, isn't it? That's called a rut. I don't like being in a rut. I hope you don't either. Jabez said that you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. Not pain to you, not pain to anybody else, that reputation be broken. And I love the last part of that verse 10. So God granted him what he requested. You know, God said, he cried out to God. God said, okay, you got it. Jabez didn't have to talk God into it. God said, you got it. But remember, with that great reward comes great responsibility. If I'm going to give you the lawn, you're going to have to mow it. If you're going to enlarge the territory, you're going to have to take care of it. And you're going to have to put it to good use. Now, if you just want it for yourself, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to push back the board. If I can't trust you with what you got right now, why would I give you anything more? Listen, we live like that, don't we? If you had a child that was irresponsible with finances that you gave money to and they came back and said, I need more money, are you going to keep on peeling off some cabbage for them? You're going to be like, no, you need to learn some money management. You need to learn something. You need to get it right. How can I trust you with more when I can't trust you with what I've already given you? Ow. We're going to ask God for more, but we better be found trustworthy with what we have. And then, remember, like I said, this is the other model prayer. Is this what we're praying? And in the middle of, this was so important that in the middle of listing the family tree, he got down to Jabez. Ooh, let me tell you about Jabez real quick. Let me take two verses to tell you about this guy. Then I'll get back to listing the family tree again. Look down at verse 11. He jumps right back in to giving family tree again, doesn't he? Chelub, the brother of Shulah, begat Merah, begat. So boom. It was something so important that he said, oh, let me tell you about this. And that's part of the reason why we have a tendency to glaze over that particular passage of Scripture, which was so cool, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to ask God to push back our fence post. But we need to be willing and ready to do what it takes, because let me make you this promise. God's not going to do it if we're not ready for it and if he can't trust us with it. God says when people become more important than things, then I'll push your fence post back. How many of y'all have ever been told your priorities aren't right? I know a lot of people don't want to put a hand up on that. Would you see mine? Whether it was at your job, whether it was as a child, I was told that often. You need to get your priorities in order. I had a little old lady when I was in college. Lynn, come on up. When I was in college, there was a little old lady, because I had, my academic prowess wasn't always the best. And I got on academic probation. Like I say, confession's good for the soul. I got on academic probation. And I was forced to stay in college. I had to take this class called Education 100. This is a class that taught you how to study. And I had a lady that must have been 95 years old as a professor. Her name was Miss Little, and she was little. She had me there with the 3-ring binder with tabs and all that stuff. And she looked me right in the belly button one day and said, you need to get your priorities in order. And you know what the really interesting part was? That little old lady loved me. and she cared. And she sat on me and she said, you are going to be what God called you to be, and that is a preacher. If I have to walk to class with you, I am going to be used by God in my talent and ability to make sure that your talent and ability comes to fruition. And you got to get your priorities together, son. I didn't want to hear that. But she was right. And you know, one of the really interesting parts was, as much as that little old lady grated on my nerves for that semester, at the end of the semester, you know the first place I went? I went back to Miss Little's office because I wanted to show her my grades, because I had a 4.0 coming out of that semester. And she hugged me and said, hallelujah, God is still on the throne. And there's hope for you yet. But you know what I found out? I wasn't the only person that she meant that much to, because every student she had, she was the same way with. She taught me to get my priorities straight, to become an organized student. To this day, I am grateful for Grace Little. Don't look at my desk, she would have a fit. But every other thing is organized. I know what pile it's in. I do know how to do that. But that was because she asked God to push back the borders in her life, to use her of all different kinds, doctors, preachers, nurses, aviators, you name it. There are hundreds of people who know the name Grace Little, because she was a part of their life. You might even remember her. Well, I don't know. You were probably smarter. You probably didn't deal with academic probation like I did. But Jim was there during my days of being at Liberty. He probably don't know Grace Little, because only us non-prioritized people needed to see her. But listen, are you going to ask God to push back the borders? Nobody's perfect. Nobody's asking you to be perfect. We're just asking you to be usable. And when we mess up, and we're going to mess up, we confess before the Lord. We realize His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and we go on. But listen, let me make this clear. We've never done better than when we've tried. Are we going to try? What has the Lord put on your heart? Today, maybe it's the fact that you've never trusted Him. You're living your life in accordance to yourself. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? The time when you said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Without a Savior, I realize I am going to be going to hell. Have you ever confessed your sin before Him and asked Him to save you? Listen, do that right now. Listen, if you're wherever you are, if you're listening from home, and that's you, and the Holy Spirit has touched your heart to say, Lord, look, I realize I'm a sinner. Save my soul. And I promise that even a prayer that simple, if you mean it, God hears it. He hears it. And He'll save you. Maybe we're here today and we've realized that our priorities are so far out in left field. We've been there before. Listen, we've all been there before. We've looked up and said, how did I get here? Why am I even doing this? This is not what I set out here to do. God said, I didn't call you here just to be a group of good people that love each other. I called you here to be an instrument in my hands. Let's get moving. Let's reach some lost people. Let's fill up that baptistry again. I want to work Mark Boone to death. Man, I want him to have to chlorinate the thing, because we can't let water out of it, because every Sunday somebody is coming to Jesus. I want Jeff to have to use the skimmer and skim the bugs and the fuzz off the top of the water. And Debbie, I want Debbie to work so hard with towels that she says, I'm so sick and tired of doing laundry, I don't know what's going on. That's what I want to see. And you know what? Here's the thing. I believe that's what God wants to see. That's going to happen if we allow it. If we've been instruments in his hand, maybe today we just need to say, Lord, I am just completely out in the middle of nowhere. COVID has gotten everything messed up, from job to family to work. And Lord, all of a sudden, today I opened my eyes and I realized I'm here and I don't even know where I am. But what I do know is I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Lord, help me come back to you today. Help me to refocus. Help me to get my Grace Little Education 100 spiritual binder out and get organized and to get about your will. Because, Lord, you want to show us some great results. If that's your prayer, lift it before the Lord today. I'm just going to ask that wherever you are, just stand where you are. We're going to have our time of invitation. Lynn's going to lead us in that. But as in an attitude of prayer, you do business with God. If you need me, I'll be up front. If you need the altar, it is here. Whatever it may be, today is the time to make the change, to make the turn, to head back to the Father. As Lynn leads us, you come.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Amen. God is good all the time. You know, he was here today, and if you didn't experience him, you need to take a checkup. You need to have that spiritual checkup. It was a joy to gather together around the scriptures, the word of God, the voices of praise as they led us today. Thank you guys for all you've done. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice. We'll be glad in it. Just a couple things real quick. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down at this time as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. And then once we have our special, I will get y'all on out of here. But you're going to have an extra special time here as well. So don't think it's over yet. Remember, we're still praising the Lord. Amen. All right, let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. You have provided us everything that we need in every way, shape, form, or fashion. Father, right now I pray that we will be faithful to return to you the tithe and the offering that you have so richly blessed us with. Lord, we owe everything to you. Help us, Father, to be wise in how we spend your money, realizing we are only stewards of all the good that you provide in our lives. So help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Echoes in my soul, I hear the
Amen. Your heart was blessed, and we look forward to more time just together to praise the Lord. Amen. Let me give you just a couple of really quick things before we get you out of here. Birthdays this coming week, Monday, my boy Blake Carter, Celeste Bowie, and Ann Brooks will be celebrating birthdays tomorrow. And this coming Friday, Stephanie Gwynn will be having a birthday. So if you get a chance or you're a card sender, be sure to let them know that you're going to be praying for them on the fact that the Lord gave them another year, maybe even another decade. You never can tell. But at any rate, pray for them. Also, as a reminder, tonight we will not have adult Bible study. The reason why is most of us know Donna is in the hospital in intensive care, so we want to keep her in our prayers. Next several days are fairly critical to her in the way of her recovery, so please be in prayer for Donna Miller. So David won't be able to be here tonight to do our adult Bible study. We do have Awana regular time at 5:30 and our youth at 6 o'clock in the multi-purpose building. So we'll love it to see you. I'll get Jackson. He'll come up here and help me with the announcements. Yeah, come on up, bud. Love that guy. But at any rate, just keep those things in your mind. And we want to continue to remember the Fogelman family, Larry and Helen. Larry has actually had to go to the hospital battling COVID. Blood oxygen is low. So at any rate, keep those families in your prayer as well as the others on our prayer list, okay? So with that, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. We love you. We thank you for being here today, and we trust that God is going to do some new things in our lives as well as in the life of our church. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Thank you so much for this day, this moment, this opportunity to be able to gather in your name and, Lord, praise you through song, through scripture, through the preaching of your word. Now I pray, Father, that we will leave this place different than when we came in, that others may truly see you in us as we go away from here. Bring us back again, Father, to worship you at an appointed time as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have a great day. You do. Man, you dudes carried a pretty heavy section. Phenomenal.